Welcome. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. And I don't have any guests today. We're supposed to have Michael Tallinger, but we haven't been able to contact him for several days now. I hope he's not dead. He's probably not dead. At least I reckon so. Anyway, I could be wrong. Maybe he is dead. Either that or he's just using being dead as an excuse not to come on the show. Syria backs Russian plan to destroy chemical weapons. You know, I just love this. Let's get this article up on the old screen behind us. Hey, there we go. That'll be nice. The Syria situation is probably the one overarching news story that everybody's talking about nowadays, isn't it? You know, it's not entirely dissimilar to the Iraq buildup. You know, it's all over the media, constant barrage of information. So let's see what these people have got to say. And by the way, it's because we're broadcasting live in New Zealand, it's September 11th tomorrow. Doing any actions. Anybody else doing any actions on September 11th? You know, to remember something that happened like well over 10 years ago, like 12, nearly 13 years ago. Still, people don't know that it's an inside job. Is this freaking insane to me or what? And not to mention the Senate's voting on it on September 11th. You know, just to give it that kapow, that extra oomph, that extra as they're going to explode Syria into particleized dust, not unlike the World Trade Center. Confronted by the threat of US airstrikes, Syria swiftly welcomed the idea of turning over all of its chemical weapons for destruction, like the US is going to let them. They're like, oh, you had chemical weapons, yeah, we're going to send in our UN weapons inspectors. And yeah, like, we're sending somebody like with a name like an alien or something. I don't know, who would we send? Blix? Blix, yeah. Blix from planet... to confiscate them weapons. Capping a remarkable chain of events that started with a suggestion from Secretary of State John Kerry, who is George W. Bush's cousin, I think, incidentally ran against him for the presidential election in 2004 there. Incidentally, both of them are members of Skull and Bones, a secret fraternal order where you get a whole bunch of stock portfolios and nice cars and stuff like that and all the connections in Hollywood and whatever else that you want if you want to take over the freaking world. Yeah, John Kerry. Followed by a proposal from Russia and immediate endorsement by the UN Secretary General. And who was the first UN Secretary General? Wasn't it some kind of former Nazi party official or something like that? Became the first director of the United Nations, which incidentally, the land on which it was built was donated by John D. Rockefeller. You know, there's nothing nefarious going on here. The Obama administration, Obama, who incidentally was mentored by Zbigniew Brzezinski, who wrote a book called The Grand Chessboard about how you want to encircle the Middle East in order to create a geopolitical control over the region and a buffer zone between China and Russia, which they incidentally now have, and proposed a whole bunch of wars with a whole bunch of countries to take out in order to steal their resources, Syria being one of them, I believe. Continued to express deep skepticism about Syrian President Bashar. Oh, my God. They've actually called him a president as opposed to a dictator or a regime. Wait for it. There might be another word of regime right down in this article somewhere. President Bashar al-Assad's intentions, and the president pressed his efforts to gain congressional backing for U.S. military action, all of which who currently reside in the U.S. Congress, of course, are paid off by the military-industrial complex and will probably vote whichever way the money frickin' tells them to vote. Excuse me. Had something in my throat. It was BS. Telling you. But he faces a decidedly he'll fight and serious doubts by the American public. The American public's actually wise enough to realize that just another foreign war, which is a continuation of U.S. policy since maybe World War II, you know, been involved in on and off in conflicts since World War II, never declared war or anything like that, and they named the Department of War the Department of Defense, so people were thinking about defense and not war. Thank you, Edward Bernays. You're the Shiite Muslim. Today's developments could provide him with a way out of a messy political and foreign policy bind. I don't think Obama really cares about what looks messy or whatever. PDD 51, you ever heard of that? Presidential Directive 51 means the president's the dictator at any crisis, at any point, if involves the economy, the environment, or money, or whatever the heck. He can just, you know, suspend freedom and alleged democracy. So, you know, what does he care? What does he care? He can be a dictator if you want. Just as long as you call everybody else a regime, it'll be fine. Kerry told reporters in London early Monday that Assad could resolve the crisis surrounding the use of chemical weapons by surrendering control of, quote, every single bit of his arsenal to the international community by the end of the week. Hours later, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov promised to push its ally Syria to place its chemical weapons under international control and then dismantle them quickly to avert US strikes. Syrian Foreign Minister Walid al-Mualem immediately embraced the proposal. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon urged acceptance. Okay, so you got the Americans working with the Chinese and the Russians against Syria. That's nice. I think that's good. By the way, Ban Ki-moon's Chinese. I wonder if he's a communist. But isn't everybody who gets to high political power in the Chinese communist state a communist by default kind of thing? And now he's the head of the United Nations, in essence, like the de facto world government. Yeah, I don't think that's a good move. It'd be much better if it was like the former Prime Minister of New Zealand, Helen Clark, who's a card-carrying Fabian socialist, who would, gently, but of course forcefully, usher everybody into a world government extermination program. That seemed to raise prospects for avoiding an expansion of the Syrian civil war, and spokesman said the administration would take a, quote, hard look at the proposal. But the matter was far from settled. So basically, we give you an out. Give us all your chemical weapons within a week, or we'll invade you. Okay, well, we'll give you all our chemical weapons. And they're like, yeah, but we may not just ask for all of your weapons and stuff like that. That might not be good enough. So what we're going to do is we're going to ask you to give us all your chemical weapons without promising to not invade you. Okay? And you don't have a choice. So, you know, just take the offer.
Does the words making an offer that you can't refuse mean anything to you bastards? Oh, I don't even know what these people are talking about, you know? You come to me on the day of my chemical attack.
But the matter was far from settled. The White House continued to build its case for action, with Obama taping 6 television network interviews for late Monday and administration officials briefing more members of Congress as they returned from summer recess. Obama will address the nation Tuesday night, and he'll probably say they've got weapons of mass destruction, and they're over there, and they're over there, and they're over there. We got the other weapons here. I don't know. State Department spokeswoman Marie Harf, as opposed to Marie Korda, said the U.S. would consider the proposal with, quote, serious skepticism, because it might be merely a stalling tactic. She said Syria had consistently refused to destroy its chemical weapons in the past. Well, yeah, because they were threatened with massive invasion and the extermination of like a million of their frickin' citizens by foreign invading scum. In fact, she said, the developments made it even more important for Congress to authorize the use of force against Syria as a means for pushing Assad to actually get rid of chemical weapons stocks. So let me get this straight. Under threat of invasion, you need to get all your chemical weapons stocks depleted. And he goes, yeah, okay, we'll get rid of them. Well, we don't trust you, so we're going to invade you anyway to make sure you get rid of those chemical weapons, which you already promised that you would get rid of, which we demanded you if we threatened you with invasion, and so we're just going to invade you anyway. Am I the only person who seems like, I don't know, reasonable enough to see through the copious quantities of BS here? I mean, have IQs just dropped sharply in the last couple of days? How bad is this freaking situation? Really? Really? It's unbelievable. The US accuses Assad's government of being behind an attack using sarin gas in the Damascus suburb on August 21st, killing 1,429 people. Some other estimates of the deaths are lower, but there is wide agreement that chemical weapons were used. And it wasn't sarin gas. It was fluoride, potassium fluoride, and sodium fluoride, which are chemical weapons that are apparently very good for your teeth. And, of course, Hamilton City Council is having a referendum about whether or not they, after goodness knows how much work by anti-fluoride activists to get the stuff out of the water, they've now decided to call a referendum. So that the dumbed-down populace, who love their frickin' fluoride propaganda, will vote to have it put back in. You know, it's a really sad state of affairs when you see that your people are so dumb that they actually vote to have chemical weapons put in their water. Come on. Come on. Anybody else brains hurt? You know what I'm saying? When you see something so freaking stupid, so asinine, so incredibly evil, and everybody rushes towards it to embrace it with open arms as if they really want to die, as if they really want to be slaves. Oh, man, that's a real tough reality to break to deal with. Methinks. In an interview with American journalist Charlie Rose that was broadcast Monday on CBS this morning. See, I CBS this morning because, you know, it's the morning and I'm reading mainstream news. Assad denied responsibility, accused the Obama administration of spreading lies without providing, quote, a single shred of evidence. Well, isn't that what presidents do? Spread lies without shreds of evidence? I mean, after all, I mean, how else would you tell lies to people, you know, with false manufactured BS? I mean, I think that's how they do it, kind of thing. And warned that airstrikes against his nation could bring retaliation. What are you going to do, Assad? You know, what are you going to do? You got the US, which is like the largest, most technologically advanced, most expensive army in the world that's like four times bigger than the nearest largest army, and I think it has more troops and technology and stuff like that than the four next biggest competitors or whatever. Number four, of course, being Israel, which is incidentally US armed and given like $3 billion worth of aid and weapons and stuff like that every year. So you got the fourth biggest army and the largest army against your little Assad. They're going to blow the Shiite out of your country. They're going to blow your Assad right off. I don't mean to be joking about this, because this is a serious situation. You know, people are thinking, well, how can this not be a serious situation? I don't know. Pressed on what might include Assad. Sorry. Pressed on as to what that might include, Assad responded, I'm not a fortune teller. Really? Well, I'm a doom teller. And you're kind of doomed. We'll be right back after the break at TiffanyEastwoodShow.com, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you go anywhere.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. Getting back into this article here. I've forgotten where exactly I was up to, so we'll start from a randomly picked spot. Later, Syria's foreign minister meeting with his Russian counterpart in Moscow addressed the idea of getting rid of chemical weapons by saying, quote, Syria welcomes the Russian proposal out of concern for the lives of the Syrian people, the security of our country, and because it believes in the wisdom of the Russian leadership that seeks to avert American aggression against our people, said El Moalem. Oh, wait, hold on a second. That was the wrong accent. And said Lavrov, yeah, here, there we go, there's the Lavrov. If the establishment of international control over chemical weapons in that country would allow avoiding strikes, we will immediately start working with Damascus. U.S. officials in Washington initially said that they were surprised by Kerry's comments. U.S. officials surprised by a stupid scumbag's comments. He was a member of a number of secret societies and is quite likely a evil pedophile of some description. They're surprised. Mm. Which came at a news conference with British Foreign Secretary William Hague. I wonder if he's related to the International Criminal Court. And in response to a question about what, if anything, Assad could do to stop the U.S., from punishing it for the use of chemical weapons. Oh, they're punishing another country. Right. Under international law, is it legal to invade somebody? For any reason? No. Not unless they attack you first. And considering the US is backing the rebels, giving them weapons, and supporting Al-Qaeda in the region, doesn't that mean that the US is kind of already invaded? See, this is the real problem with geopolitics. Particularly geopolitics is understood through the lens of the mainstream media, is that the US is already at war with Syria, isn't it? Except they use covert means. They make sure that they weaken you way before they even invade, so that you've got nothing to resist with. You know, the Syrian army is having problems putting down a bunch of rebels. What do you think they're going to be able to put up in terms of resistance against a shock and awe, practically mini nuke a whole frickin' city block and vaporize it like it was a mist in the morning type attack? What the frick are they going to do? You know? This is the serious situation we're talking about here. Okay. How can people even fall for this again? Okay. I'm only 28. I haven't lost my memory yet. Maybe a few more years wearing aluminium deodorants will change that. But in the meantime, I am not suffering from amnesia, which is, incidentally, an American colony in French Polynesia. And as a result of not suffering from amnesia, I remember the BS leading up to the Iraq War. I remember the constant repetition of crap all over the television screens and the newspapers and the web and so on and so forth. I remember the huge quantity of lies that were told to the American public. I remember the huge quantity of propaganda that was just assailing the American public all over network television, you know, war on terror, war on Iraq. Because everybody was just like freaked out by 9/11 virtually just happening, you know, burned into their memory, scorched onto their retinas, absolutely blackened the soul of the people of the United States, saying, "We united we stand so that we can bomb everybody else who's innocent and had nothing to do with the attacks in the first frickin' place," even admitted by our own officials. I remember that all of it. Well, not all of it. There's bound to be things that I've forgotten. But the general rule is still the same, is it not? These people, if you can even call them that, are using the precise same playbook as a lead up to Iraq, which was an illegal war. And I guarantee you, Syria itself, also going to be an illegal war. Incidentally, they'll find out that it was actually the rebels, or the Americans, or something like that, who used all those chemical weapons. And I bet you they probably purchased said chemical weapons from the United States anyway. Who else makes sarin gas? I think there's only really one country that I can think of. I could be wrong. There might be heaps of other people manufacturing sarin gas, you know, in some deep underground, I don't know, mud shack made of cow dung or something like that that they got out there in the deep deserts of the Golan Heights or some crap like that, you know. Hey, guys, you made that sarin gas yet? Yeah, man. Just get us a milk tanker or something. We'll ship it right out to you. I don't understand why it is that people think that any Middle Eastern country of any kind could really be some kind of a global threat. I mean, when was the last time Middle Eastern countries even attacked anybody? You know, really think about this. I think Iran hasn't attacked anybody in like 300 years. They've been attacked a number of times, including by US-backed Iraq during the Iraq-Iran war, which Iran won, and Iraq said that they won. And I think Saddam Hussein built these two massive scimitar swords over the road in Baghdad somewhere in order to say that, yes, we won, you know, and his eyes kind of dodgily shifted from side to side as he said it. You know, but I don't know where I'm going with this. Never mind. Syria welcomes the Russian proposal out of concerns for the lives of the Syrian people, the security of our country, and because it believes in the wisdom of Russian leadership that seeks to avert American aggression against our people. Now, that's the defense minister of Syria. He's saying our people are under threat by the US. Okay? Nobody's threatening to invade the US. Has Syria ever threatened the US? No. Have they been, I don't know, attacked by the US thus far? Yes, they have. And of course, it doesn't matter. US officials in Washington initially said they were surprised by Kerry's comments, which came at a news conference with British Foreign Secretary William Hague. And in response to a question about what, if anything, Assad could do to stop the US from punishing it for the use of chemical weapons. Sure, Kerry replied. He could turn over every single bit of his chemical weapons to the international community in the next week. Turn it over, all of it, without delay, and allow a full and total accounting for that. But he isn't about to do it, and it can't be done, obviously. So let me get this straight. The only thing that you believe that you're allowing him to do is something that is technically impossible for him to do. Meet our demands that are impossible, or we're going to invade you. Doesn't that just sound like you would just want to invade them, you know? Which means you've got probably some kind of other agenda happening on there, you know? In a speech today, Obama's national security advisor, Susan Rice, I wonder if she's a relative of Condoleezza Rice. I don't know. Susan Rice reiterated that the president had decided it is in U.S. interests to carry out limited strikes. What do you mean? Are you going to incorporate them first, you know? U.S. Strikes Limited. And, hey, whoa, I can make a lot of money off of that, actually. I could invade Syria under my brand name of U.S. Strikes Limited. You know, maybe Halliburton will give me a contract. And the State Department moved to play down Kerry's comments. Quote, Secretary Kerry. Oh, I like the rhyming there. Secretary Kerry. Secretary Kerry. Oh, yeah. Obama was making a rhetorical argument about the impossibility and unlikelihood of Assad turning over chemical weapons he has denied that he used. Department spokeswoman Jen Psaki, that's Psaki with a P, of course, said in an email sent to reporters, quote, His point was that this brutal dictator, there we are, with a history of playing fast and loose with the facts.
A person in the US administration accusing somebody else of playing fast and loose with the facts.
I'm sorry, that wasn't a joke, was it? Or is it? Because I could turn it into a joke.
Cannot be trusted to turn over chemical weapons, otherwise he would have done so long ago.
All right, so it's like you go up to a bully and you've got a gun and the bully's unarmed. And you say to him, I'm going to kill you unless you stop being a bully. And he goes, okay, well, I'll stop being a bully then. They say, but you would have done that long ago if you're going to do it at all. Bang! See? They're not giving you a freaking out!
You know, I don't know. How anybody can read this tripe and actually believe anything that it says. Man. This realization's just hitting me now. How freaking stupid people are. How corrupt the mainstream media is. Like, it's... Oh, my God. I could have read this article in, like, 5 minutes, but I'm trying to fill in the blanks with commentary. Stuff that actually freaking matters. And I'm still not even halfway through.
Al-Mualem's statement appeared to mark an acknowledgement by Damascus that it possesses chemical weapons and reflected what appeared to be an attempt by Assad to avoid the US military attack. I mean, gosh dang right he's trying to avoid an attack. I mean, come on. You see, did you even see what the US did to Iraq? You even see it? Now a quarter of the babies are born deformed? What? A quarter of its children are born deformed because of U.S. depleted uranium and other weapons. Okay? They found the massive chemical bunkers and everything like that Iraq had, and they went inside, and they found out that every single frickin' crate full of chemical, deadly, world-ending frickin' poison was marked with made in the USA. And so they detonated those weapons bunkers to conceal the evidence, and then claimed that all the chemical fallout and everything else that was inside those things was just a pure coincidence that all the frickin' troops came home with Gulf War syndrome. But it remained to be seen whether the statement represented a genuine goodwill gesture by Syria or simply an attempt to buy time. Al-Mualem and Lavrov had not reacted to Kerry's comments, but when they spoke to reporters immediately after the meeting, but Lavrov appeared before television cameras several hours later to say Moscow would urge Syria to quickly place its chemical weapons under international control and then dismantle them. If the establishment of international control over chemical weapons in that country would allow avoiding strikes, we will immediately start working with Damascus, Lavrov said. We are calling on the Syrian leadership to not only agree on placing chemical weapons storage sites under the international control, but also on its subsequent destruction and fully joining the Treaty on Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, he said. There's a treaty on prohibition of chemical weapons, you say? And is the U.S. following that? Do they have chemical weapons, you know? Do they have dangerous bioweapons labs that are like level 4, level 6 or something like that, you know, with the most deadly viruses and going to wipe out mankind in like 20 minutes? Well, I mean, am I overreacting here? Am I? I don't think I am. Like, I think that I'm taking this situation with an appropriate level of sarcasm. Really. The situation's fracked. Much like everybody else. Guaranteed it's part of the global agenda. The global agenda. And if anybody's listening to this and you don't know about the global agenda, I wonder how the heck you found this show. That's all we talk about. What else is there? But the global agenda, everything ties into it. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about house prices, doesn't matter whether we're talking about finance companies or churches or sports or museum openings or the Queen or anything. Everything ties in to this great global agenda. Hey, and I haven't even covered the Australian election cycle either. Again, all part of the global agenda. We'll be monitoring this one with great interest. Oh, an Australian Prime Minister gets elected, promises a whole bunch of stuff, and of course, first day he comes out, whatever his promises were, they won't be promised or delivered anymore. We'll be right back after the break at thebunnyeastwoodshow.com.
Oh, no, no.
Accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come.
That's better. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And here's another article for you. Key hints at moral support for US on Syria. I don't see. I always find the irony of this. John Key talking about moral support for anything. Look, you can't give anybody moral support if you don't have any morals, Mr. Key. Come on. Prime Minister John Key strongly hinted yesterday that the government would off the United States moral support for any punitive strike. There is a typo there. That the government would off the United States. I love that. Moral support, that's supposed to be offer the United States moral support for any punitive strike it took against Syria over the gassing of civilians. And of course, you know, surveilling New Zealanders, acting at the behest of Warner Brother movie executives and so on and so forth. That's cool, you know. I mean, this is an expected move, okay, by me anyway. Okay, people are like, oh, how could John Key support this evil strike? It'd be crazy. Look, the guy's not sane, okay? He's not a nice guy. He's not your pedigree chum. He's an evil person, an evil, lying, manipulative puppet of the U.S. Okay? The USA. It's just what he does. He also said the issue would be debated in the New Zealand Parliament through a ministerial statement, but he was not proposing to put any statement to a vote. Yeah, of course, he'll just do it unilaterally, you know, because he works on the US monologue. The US Congress is due to debate this week an authorizing motion, an authoritarian motion, the motion of the ocean with the commotion for a military strike against Syria, with the Senate voting possibly on Thursday, New Zealand time, and the White House voting this week or next. Oh, sorry, the House with the more gangsters than you can shake a stick at, yo. Mr. Key made his comments at his post-cabinet press conference. Post-cabinet press conference. I do wonder what they talk about behind the scenes. You know, they got all these cameras on them and all these microphones. And that's when they issue these public statements. And, you know, they've all got it written up, practiced, rehearsed, so on and so forth. And then they generally don't let anything juicy slip, which is why these press conferences are so freaking boring, because they never tell you anything worth hearing about, really. They just tell you the BS that they're doing and don't tell you the BS reasons why they're doing it. I guess, you know, that's kind of New Zealand in a nutshell, isn't it? We're just going to destroy you, all of you, and not tell you why, and not really have any justification for what we're doing anyway. So, you know, frack the lot of yous, basically. That's the parliamentary swing vote. I'm also getting really upset today. Really upset. I just see these people in Syria, you know, they're dying, there's a civil war. I know the US is behind the civil war and financing both sides of it and everything, just like they always do. The banksters and everything are just taking control of the freaking planet, getting all their cronies involved, all their John Key, Wall Street, bankster types and so on and so forth, pledging moral support even though they haven't got any freaking morals to support. They couldn't even support a house of cards. It's just really wearing on me, man. I mean, really. And also another thing, I was looking through my YouTube, you know, my Facebook's blocked and everything, so everybody now you know why. I can't seem to get back into it. I don't know what the heck the problem is. But anyway, in lieu of being able to social network now, I've been looking through comments on my YouTube channel. And, you know, one person, like, I've got this this thing on my thing. I need, like, 500 people to donate $5 a month, right? 500 people donating $5 a month. And I will be financially able to do so much work, it won't even be funny, you know? I'll be able to travel down to Wellington to actually go to, you know, Parliament protests and so on and so forth. I'll be able to take a plane down to Christchurch to film some of the quake damage and the BS that they're going through with their council down there. They're full-on Agenda 21-izing the Shiite Muslim out of the city. I've got a couple of friends in, like, Dunedin and Invercargill that I'd like to take a visit with and go into their radio studios and do interviews and things of that nature. You know, I really want to be able to travel around the country a little bit on occasion to be able to support other areas of the nation because there's really only one person in this country who's doing this kind of work, you know, doing the radio and doing the YouTube on a daily basis, and that's me, you know, like it or lump it, ladies and gentlemen. And I get this comment from this person on the YouTube channel saying the only reason why you want 500 YouTube subscribers, 500 people giving $5 a month is so that you can sit on your ass promoting BS conspiracy theories and do nothing. Go get a job. And my God. Dude, do you work 70, 80 hours a week? When was the last time you had a day off? You know? How many protests have you attended? Like, how many public meetings have you filmed and gotten up on air? Would you say it's over 2,500 videos so far? Would you say it's anything like that? Do you have any idea how much effort actually goes into this? How much huge quantity of workload? How much thinking I actually really have to do? How much talking with people, how much listening, and so on and so forth, and the editing processing, and the website's fracking up on me, and nobody helping me or anything like that, you know? You don't have any idea, son. Okay? And most people don't have any idea just how hard I actually have to work just in order to keep this radio show going and keep the YouTube videos going up. Trust me. You got no idea. It's very, very difficult sometimes. You know, I'm just... I get to the point sometimes where, and I'm sure everybody gets this, just in every normal job, where you're like so tired, you just need a holiday, man. You know, you just want to take like a couple of weeks just off, like off, you know. Turn off the computers, turn off the cell phone, unplug the phone, and just do nothing. You know, maybe you get your house in order a little bit, do cleaning up. I've been doing water blasting outside, you know. Friend of mine dropped off his water blaster, and it's kind of like it's almost therapeutic and hypnotic doing a little bit of water blasting, especially when you're doing huge areas of it and getting all the filth scrubbed off. And it's not entirely dissimilar to how I perform my work function. You know, doing the radio show and editing YouTube videos and so on and so forth together. It is a slow going process for which you can see continual progress and continual evidence of the work that you have done. And for somebody to tell me to go get a job or to accuse me of being lazy or anything like that, it's just... I don't know whether or not to be frustrated or angry or just laugh at the person and just, you're retarded. You don't know what the heck you're talking about. And you're not accomplishing anything helping humanity, are you? You're just a freaking slave. You love paying your slave taxes, living in your slave block apartment with your slave wife and your slave kids, watching your slave television, washing your hair with your slave shampoo, and then washing it down with your slave conditioning. You know, it's just frack off. Piece of trash. And this is actually something I've been really kind of looking at as a very serious option now. In fact, I've been practicing this for a couple of weeks, is to remove comments like that are disparaging and frustrating and angering for me, and then block said person who made said comment. Remove the comment and then block said motherfracker. Oh, yeah. It's like I feel powerful. I feel powerful enough to... stop people who are real douchebags who don't know what the heck they're talking about from commenting on my videos continuously, spitting poison and venom at me so I don't have to deal with that shit. Be quite nice. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyacewithshow.com. Listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, it is now hour number two, the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. New Zealand's only 5-day-a-week, full-on, 100% in-your-face, truth-related radio program. There's a number of other truth-related radio programs in New Zealand, and I wish that they would do more. Really? But, you know, we've all got excuses that we make. I have to work. I have to take care of my family. I have to do such and such and blah, blah, blah. I had to work. But did I go back to work while the entire world's crumbling around me because of ruthless criminal sociopathic scum who control the media, control the government, control the issuance of currency, control bioweapons, and so on and so forth? Did I prioritize going back to work and being and working at my slave job? No, I did not. I mean, tried to make money wherever I could, you know, but at the end of the day, what the heck is the use in trying to make money or support a family when the world where you're going to spend said money or spend time with said family is being destroyed right in front of your freaking eyes and you do nothing about it because you're trying to make money to survive in a world that doesn't freaking exist? That was kind of the realization that I came to. Quit my job, frack it. Whatever comes my way, comes my way. It's got to be done. It's got to be done. Not because of, you know, options. It's a lack of options. Only one choice, only one way forward. There is no freaking escape from the system. That's what I had to realize. And unfortunately, I was correct, and it's only getting worse. System's only getting freaking worse, ladies and gentlemen. It's a real sad state of affairs. Back to this John Key article. He made his comments at his post-cabinet press conference. He said it was still New Zealand's view that the United Nations Security Council should deal with it. Oh, it's New Zealand's view. Yeah, the Prime Minister of New Zealand, who the vast majority of people didn't vote for. He knows our views. New Zealand's position will be discussed by the cabinet, but it would not be influenced by New Zealand's bid to get a seat on the Security Council in 2015 and 2016, which will be voted on next year. And you can be guaranteed that if John Key votes the way the New World Order wants him to, he'll get that frickin' seat on the Security Council. Here's the thing, New Zealand, we're a very small country, okay? But we mean an awful lot to the international community because we're a first world nation and we're really isolated from all the other first world nations. So it means we've got a lot of independence. So a first world nation with a lot of independence, with not a whole lot of connections to really close neighbours and stuff around us, means that our perspective is greatly valued on the world stage. You know, if the New Zealanders are doing it, well, why can't we? Because we've got the freedom to do these sort of things. Allegedly. But it means that we're also a test ground for the New World Order. And they've done a whole bunch of stuff to this country that I'm not proud of. And I'm sure a hell of a lot more terrible things will happen in the future that I won't be proud of either. How exactly can you be proud of a nation that kills and destroys and maims its own reputation and its own people? It may be one of those situations where New Zealand just simply has to say, while our preference would be the Security Council to deal with the Syria issue, we can understand why unilateral action has been taken. Now, Mr. Key, back in the Iraq War, Helen Clark, big socialist weasel that she is, said that we wouldn't go into Iraq, even though we sent in ships, New Zealand ships to protect the invasion fleet of Iraq, and even though we sent in a whole bunch of engineers into Iraq, and even though, see, and this has all been exposed by Nikki Haga anyway. So we say one thing, then we do another. Okay? We say one thing, we do another. And even at the time, Mr. Prime Minister in waiting, like a lady in waiting, Mr. John Effing Key, as opposed to John Fitzgerald Kennedy, decided that it would be a good idea, and he would have probably gone into Iraq and actually sent our troops in there and so on and so forth. Not like we didn't do it anyway, but hey. And now here's his chance. Finally, another unilateral invasion that requires your moral support and to send our boys to die over there is in your lap, Mr. Key. And I can guarantee you he'll vote precisely the way the New World Order wants him to. I can just see it now. I can just see some of our people dying and having their families mourn over them, have these young men who are so full of potential, so full of promise, skill, integrity, and intelligence, you know, and
patriotically signed up to serve their nation being thrown at the enemy and just having their lives taken from them and having all that potential robbed away from them and all their families endlessly grieving about it. I don't want that to happen to my countrymen. I don't want that to happen to anybody's. You know, the most likelihood is it'll just happen to the US soldiers, whether they're in a plane shot down or whether they're flown in a Black Hawk helicopter and just taken out by some freaking rocket-propelled grenade by some Al-Qaeda operative that was armed by the CIA or something like that. You know, it's just not cool, man. War is a freaking racket. It's a business. It really is. And the military-industrial complex has got all of our people stitched up, don't they? They got their front men in play, and all the people that they induct into the schools of military thought all have their independence beaten out of them, in some cases literally, so they can be brainwashed and mind-controlled to follow orders and never think for themselves again. And as a result, they get killed and their families lose them. That's freaking sad, man. It's really sad. Anyway, talking about the Syria issue and taking unilateral action, quote from Mr. Key, if that is the call we make, then I think we will do that irrelevant of the consequences of the Security Council bid. He was not proposing a parliamentary vote, but an opportunity for a leaders' debate through the delivery in a ministerial statement. He was not sure how Labour would respond, but he was sure the Greens would vote against it if we decided to support them. Well, the Greens, you know, traditionally are anti-war, pro-civil liberties, and so on and so forth, even as they promote draconian carbon taxes, which will destroy the entire economy. Mr. Key was pivotal last week in getting leaders at the Pacific Islands forums last week to agree strongly to a worded statement, not only calling for individual and collective leadership from the Security Council. See, there's that word again, collective. You know, like the Borg.
You are now the slave of the Borg. Resistance is futile. Your genetic material will be assimilated into the collective at the UN Security Council.
But laying the blame at the August 21 chemical warfare attack against civilians at the Bashar al-Assad, here's the word, regime.
I'm so sick of hearing the word regime. Can't you come up with a new word?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You can't. Because you need to propagandize people by repeating the same crap
in front of their eyes every single day.
He said he was relying on information supplied by partners such as British Prime Minister David Cameron, who was certain it was not possible for the attack to have been conducted by the rebels. Oh, a British Prime Minister is certain of something. That's good comfort there. Wasn't Tony Blair certain that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq? Oh, yeah, that's right. There freaking weren't any. Wasn't Tony Blair also, like, I don't know, connected in some way to BP, British Petroleum, who made a shockingly large amount of money after the Iraq War or something like that because a whole bunch of their oil exporting, you know, competition got freaking wiped out in the mushroom cloud? On that basis, we were happy to accept that wording. Oh, yeah. He was not sure whether the cabinet would need any further evidence before deciding on a final position for New Zealand. Yeah, that's right. You don't need any further evidence because you don't have any evidence in the first frickin' place.
And if you had any further evidence, you wouldn't be able to actually make a final position on anything for New Zealand because you'd realise that you don't fucking really represent the country, you represent the New World Order.
Scumbag.
We would make that call on the merits of the information we have been provided.
The merits of the information you've been provided.
Like the propaganda that you repackage and resell to the community. And whether we think, broadly speaking, exhausted the likely options available to us through the multilateral approach. What? The one where they said, get rid of your weapons or we'll invade you, and we know it's impossible to get rid of your weapons, so we're going to invade you and get rid of your weapons for you anyway. That's the options through the multilateral approach, he said. I would maintain whatever we made, it would still very much reflect that New Zealand runs independent foreign policy. Really? Really, Mr. Key? New Zealand runs independent foreign policy, do we? Is that why in 2008, when we had those big terror raids that happened in like 18 other countries at the exact same time? Is that why in 2008, when you were elected Prime Minister, there was also a massive global financial credit crunch crisis, which derivatives trading fracks like you freaking caused? Is that why we're introducing food bill legislation that is like word for word basically what's straight out of Codex Alimentarius, which will basically more or less outlaw any kind of decent organic food, make GMOs regulation, and the only thing you'll actually ever be able to eat is cancer-causing, tumor-accumulating crap? Is that why? Because we've got so much independent foreign policy. Is that why Auckland Super City Council with the 13th freaking council that is amalgamated into it, which we were supposed to have a citizens-initiated referendum on, which was denied and blocked all straight out of Agenda 21? You know, is that why we've got such independent foreign policy? Is because every single bit of our foreign policy is dictated by banksters who are independent of every single frickin' government in the gosh dang world and are trying to destroy all elements of freedom within every single brain cell of the people of this country with their drafting propaganda, their massive increase in vaccine schedules, the fact that you might not even be able to send your kids to school anymore unless you give them some kind of toxic autism-causing cancer vaccine, you know? How freaking independent is our policy? Huh? How independent is our policy? Are you freaking kidding me? You gotta be freaking kidding me. Now, being somebody who's honest pretty much prohibits you from going into Parliament because you have to lie. You have to lie, all right? Not telling the truth is the same as lying, isn't it? By saying, oh, I can't comment on that. That's dishonest. And every single parliamentarian does it. Just being in Parliament and having... and being under the scrutiny of lying politicians, deceptive and manipulative media, means that you cannot tell the truth a large proportion of the time because you'll actually have consequences, real, tangible consequences for telling the truth. If you lie or just don't say anything, which is just basically just as deceptive, you get away with it and you get all your policies that you want implemented. Right? And for somebody who's honest like me, to read the mainstream media, to hear these BS spouting words is so enraging that it's like I'm going to burst a blood vessel in my forehead. You know, some kind of a rage vein explosion. I would maintain whatever part of me that refuses to accept lies, you know, if I could. But the unfortunate reality becomes apparent that you do have to tolerate all of these lies, don't you? Because if you can't tolerate them, you'll drive yourself friggin' nuts. Okay. These people
people are just lying all the fucking time, lying to everybody. They're killing people. They're like, literally, the policies being introduced by this government result in people's freaking death. It results in death. And they're cool with it because they're psychopaths. They don't give a frack about human life. You know, they're not even human themselves. Blood drinking and freaking child sex cult rapes or whatever the hell. I don't care. But these people are just bad, bad freaking people. And they can't tell the truth, even if they wanted to. Every decision the government had taken had the potential to win or lose votes. Quote, and I have no doubt that might fit in that category. On the other side of the coins, the lens that we will really be looking through this issue at is whether we believe that some action is warranted, even if the UN won't support it, on the basis of the issue rather than the broader issue of New Zealand wanting to get on the Security Council. And the Security Council, by the way, is what runs the UN. Okay? There's like 180-something countries or whatever that are part of the UN, and is like a half a dozen handful or whatever that are in charge of the Security Council, which makes all the decisions for the UN, including whether or not they want to military invade people, what kind of policies, and so on and so forth. They got veto powers and goodness knows whatever the frack else. So if we're on the Security Council, we're part of the round table that controls the New World Order, you know, to a degree. Anyway, and I'm sure John Key really loves that because that's what his Bankster Masters would probably want. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And let's go into another article here. God, I hate the Prime Minister. Hate's not too strong a word, you know. Like, if you don't know hate, you don't know love. Well, actually, I think you probably do know. I don't know what I'm saying. Anyway, I hate the Prime Minister. Let's leave it at that. Because he's a scumbag. Because he's a liar. Because he's evil. Because he's selling the country out. Because he's manipulative. Because he's a bully. Because he is a dangerous man. So I think he's worthy of hating. And I'm really sick of people who keep talking about love and light and so on and so forth. Look, mate, the world is not all love and light. You know, love and light's really nice and all of that kind of stuff, but there's also a lot of darkness and hate. And if you try to ignore the fact that that stuff exists, then the darkness and hate will wind up consuming you because you're always just trying to stick your head in the sand looking for the love and light. I could be wrong, but I use hate, I use anger, I use rage and frustration as my fuel to keep going, okay? It ain't love that compels me. It ain't desire to do the right thing. It's my hatred and anger and rage at the system as what it has done to me over my life and what it is doing to everybody. That is my motivation. If love and light comes out of my motivation, so on and so forth, fine. But here's the cream on the cream on top. PM and family to spend weekend with the Queen. Oh, isn't that nice? John Key, the Prime Minister, financial stockbroker who helped to hollow out a whole bunch of economic clauses in Ireland and so on and so forth and destroy their economy and what have you. You know, that's just nice, isn't it? They're going to spend a weekend with the Queen, and his whole family will too, including his, wee daughter who was recently exposed. She exposed herself quite literally in case with a with an octopussy over her vagina. And she was doing some art. Oh, yeah, I'm doing art.
That's good. Yeah, the old nudity and something that means nothing. That's good. That's art these days. Prime Minister John Key, his wife Brona, and their children Stephanie and Max will spend the weekend with the Queen at Balmoral Castle in Scotland later this month, finally taking up an invite that was first extended 3 years ago. Mr. Key will leave next week for the private visit, which is part of a trip to London, Paris, and New York, where he will speak at the United Nations General Assembly. Oh, no. Oh, my God. I can't. You know, it's actually really difficult to read articles like this. You know, you see the elite, you see their methodologies, how they destroy countries, how they control puppets and so on and so forth, and how they rub each other's backs like chimpanzees in the woods or something, eating parasites off each other's fur. It just sickens me. Mr. and Mrs. Key were originally invited to stay at Balmoral 3 years ago, but were called off the trip at the last minute because of the September 2010 Christchurch earthquake. It is a rare honour to be invited to Balmoral, although it is unclear whether any former New Zealand Prime Ministers have visited. Mr. Key will meet with UK Prime Minister David Cameron, Foreign Secretary William Hague, and Labour leader Ed Miliband in London before heading up to Balmoral in Aberdeenshire from September 20th to the 22nd. Mr. Key will also meet with French President Francois Hollande, Prime Minister Jean-Marc Ayrault, and Economy and Finance Minister Pierre Moscovici. It is his first visit to France since Mr. Hollande became president last year. This visit is an opportunity to talk about Europe with two key EU member states. Both are also permanent members of the UN Security Council. How can he be a permanent member of a Security Council that has veto power over everything? You know, maybe they should take turns, you know, musical chairs or something like that. You know, all of a sudden, US is off the Security Council and it can't dictate global policy no more. And it's EU lackeys as well. The UN, their perspectives on regional and global issues are of strong interest to New Zealand, Mr. Key said. Yeah, of course they're of strong interest to New Zealand because they're against New Zealand's interests. Just like yourself, Mr. Key. In New York, he will speak at the UN General Assembly and help lobby for support for New Zealand's bid to be on the Security Council in 2015 to 2016. You know, some people are telling me, you know, if you talk about things, you give them power. And so I shouldn't talk about John Key. I shouldn't talk about war. I shouldn't talk about you. In fact, I can't talk about anything. Really? Can I? I can't talk about anything that displeases me because I wind up giving them power, according to that logic. So why don't we just sit back, be happy, pretend everything's okay, and let all these fracks exterminate us? You know? How about that? Sick of that mentality. Just because you're against something doesn't mean you're supporting it. I mean, it's counterintuitive, isn't it? You know, there's a little bit of a psychological block there, admittedly. Maybe I just like being up against things. Maybe I've been under the heel of certain authority figures and so on and so forth my entire life. I mean, suspended from high school 17 times. I mean, come on. You know, I must have a problem with authority. Ergo, anybody who's trying to act like an authority or currently is an alleged authority, I just don't like and oppose automatically by instinct. I can't help it. It's like, is this a scumbag trying to tell me what to do? Yes, he is trying to tell you what to do. Well, frack you! That's kind of my little automatic psychological response. Frack you! You know? Kind of like some people would sneeze when their nose gets tickled. I kind of have that sort of reaction, you know. Frack you! You know? Small states like New Zealand need to have a place at the UN's top table. Ooh, small places like New Zealand need to have a top 10 table. You know, I think that applies equally.
Don't you, Mr. Key? It does actually apply equally that all little states, you know, whether or not Bahrain or Saudi Arabia or Iraq or Iran or any of these other places or something like that deserve some kind of, I don't know, why don't you put Syria on the Security Council? Oh yeah, that's right, because they'd veto your unilateral decision to invade them. You know, here's the thing. You're on the UN Security Council. It means you're part of the New World Order. New Zealand's part of the New World Order. It's been on the Security Council before. Our former Prime Minister, Helen Clark, went to... What did she get to? Number three spot at the UN, the head of the UN Development Program, with a $9 million salary, working 70, 80 hours a week, same as me, you know, and a $9 billion budget to spend on sterilizing vaccines. Yep, New Zealand's part of the New World Order. It's just that freaking simple. I really wish my people would wake up to this fact, but every single protest I go to, every single public meeting, they're never freaking talking about the New World Order. We're talking about these little symptomologies. Oh, they're trying to install some kind of a surveillance police state. Just like the New World Order said they were going to do since day frickin' one. Oh, they're trying to open up the national parks to mining. Hello, it's a resource grab, just like the New World Order said they're going to do from day one. Everything ties back to this. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, okay? Not in the traditional sense anyway. I've seen documents, I've seen documentaries, I've interviewed high-level people. I know, without a shadow of a doubt, that such a thing as conspiracy exists. That such a thing as conspirators exist. That scumbaggery is the main driving engine of international policy. It's just unavoidable. And people ignore this. And they say that I'm being negative for pointing it out. Look, you're being stupid and naive to think that if you don't expose it, that it will just go away. This is a dangerous situation we find ourselves in, ladies and gentlemen. We're in deep trouble here. Very deep trouble. And unless we're capable of accepting the truth, then we're kind of franked in a large part, aren't we? I don't think that it's going to be possible to actually defeat the New World Order by refusing to talk about it. I mean, that's just my two cents. I could be wrong. Maybe the only thing we need to do in order to do things and get everything sorted is just to, I don't know, stop caring. Stop listening. Stop doing things that are, I don't know, scary for you or whatever. You know, stop challenging ourselves. Let's just let things happen. All right, now, Key, Syria weapon destruction proposal, interesting. Oh, it's interesting, yes. Prime Minister John Key and Syrian President Bashar Assad. Oh, this situation is so serious and it makes me so sad. Prime Minister John Key sees a UN-backed suggestion to destroy all of Syria's chemical weapons as a way of diverting an increasingly violent situation is an interesting proposal. Oh, it's interesting. United States President Barack H. O'Barry, I mean, sorry, Barack Obama, I mean, sorry, Barack H. Sator, I mean, I've forgotten what his name is now. He's got so many of them. Had been pressing for congressional backing for military action against the Assad government. Oh, what? They actually called him a government instead of a regime here. Unbelievable. Unfreaking believable. It's a triumph for democracy. But a suggestion
by Secretary of State John Kerry for Syria to hand over all of its chemical weapons have been broadly welcomed. Yeah. Completely disarm yourself, and then we'll just invade you anyway after you're all out of weapons. Of course it was welcomed. Mr. Kerry told reporters in London earlier yesterday that Syrian President Bashar Assad could resolve the crisis surrounding the use of chemical weapons by surrendering control of every single little bit of his arsenal to the international community by the end of the week. And, of course, they didn't add on that he said, by the way, that's impossible for him to do, and we wouldn't trust him even if he said that he would. So we're going to bomb regardless. Hours later, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov promised to push its ally Syria to place its chemical weapons under international control and then dismantle them quickly to avert US strikes. And Syrian Foreign Minister Walid al-Maloum immediately embraced the proposal, and UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon urged acceptance. Mr. Key told TV3's First Line program today the government's preferred position was to let the UN Security Council do its work. Its work of unilaterally invading our country. Wait, you can't unilaterally do it if a whole bunch of psychopaths come into a room and then you actually just agree, yeah, we're going to invade this country and there's nothing they can do about it and we're going to give them impossible freaking benchmarks to put onto. Yeah, so we can just invade them and kill them. Yeah, it'll be great. We've been part of the Pacific Forum last week that issued communique saying exactly that, that both individually and collectively the Security Council needs to show leadership in this area. So it needs to... How can you be individual and a collective at the same time? Isn't that like being tall and short at the same time, or being fat and being skinny at the same time, or being black and being white at the same time? It's just not freaking possible. You're either individually accountable or you're collectively accountable, you know. Pick one. If the proposal for Syria's chemical weapons to be destroyed was credible and complete, that was certainly an interesting proposal, said Mr. Key. We certainly welcome the destruction of all chemical weapons in any country.
Well, why don't you blow up all the fluoride production facilities that are poisoning our water supplies?
The plan could sway public opinion in terms of what world leaders decide on Syria's future, he said. Everyone can understand how abhorrent the situation is in Syria, and everyone feels for the people who are vulnerable to these attacks and have been subjected to the attacks almost certainly by the Assad regime. There we go, the return of the regime. It's not the Assad government anymore, it's the regime. Oh, God. Am I the only one who's getting, like, a little bit over this? You know, seen it before. I know what's going to happen. It's like you're watching a car accident happen in slow motion. And you know the mother and the small child on the passenger side are going to be T-boned and squashed like a marshmallow. And there's nothing you can do to stop it. There's just... I'm at a loss, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Don't you go anywhere. Only one more segment after the break. Welcome back.
Yeah.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, as the final segment right here on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And I'm trying to get this last article out. I just had a hard drive delivered to me. You know, when you're ordering stuff and they have little add-ons, you know, it's like don't deliver between this time and that time, and if you come here and it is between this time and that time, don't knock on the door, just leave it in the little alcove outside, and so on and so forth. And then they don't follow it, but you know, conveniently it happened during a break, so nobody's any the wiser, so that's good. So now I have a hard drive here, and I'm able to keep continuing to edit the videos because I just, you know, completely ran out. Unfortunately, the problem is it's actually quite an expensive one, and I'm out of money. So if people are capable
of supporting me, because this is actually starting to be quite an expensive job because I'm using multiple camera angles and things like that. So it just soaks up so much space. It's like a data sponge, the Vinnie Eastwood show is. A data sponge. It's just so much of it. It's just unbelievable. And I really do need the support of the listeners. So if you can, because they're the only people who will support me, go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. There is a Kiwi Bank account there. If you're in New Zealand and you want to support New Zealand's alternative media, then please go to the Kiwi Bank account there. It's on the homepage of thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. It's not that difficult to find. And start making an automatic payment today. Okay, we've got people who are making a $2 a month automatic payment. Some one person's doing $2.50 a week, another person's doing $50 a month, another person's doing $100 a month, and so on and so forth. So whatever you can give, all of it is absolutely necessary, and too much is never enough, okay? Because trust me, I will always find ways to spend money, usually on equipment, so I can expose even more scumbaggery. Exposing scumbaggery is the name of the game, and you need gear in order to do that. And unfortunately, stuff breaks, you know, and you've got to replace and so on and so forth. So another cool thing would be is like gift vouchers or whatever. Like if you don't want to give me cash because you're afraid of like me spending it on nefarious purposes or whatever, there's plenty of places that sell electronics gear or food or fuel vouchers, for example. My friend Barry, he gives me fuel vouchers. In fact, he's got $100 worth of fuel vouchers waiting for me right now, which I should go and pick up. If my car had a warrant of fitness and a rego, which I do need cash for. So please go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. If you can't use the Kiwi Bank account because you're overseas or whatever, there is a PayPal option there for you as well to make a donation or an automatic payment. Now, back to the show. Confronted by the threat of US airstrikes, Syria swiftly welcomed the idea of turning over all of its chemical weapons for destruction. This is basically a copy-paste of the other article that I read out before, isn't it? Right? It's exactly the same. Here's the interesting thing. You know, I just went to the New Zealand Herald this morning and opened up all these articles that I thought I might want to read out today. And two of them are from AP, and they're virtually the exact same article with maybe a tiny little bit of BS in there for the New Zealand perspective. It still says that it comes out of AP, Associated Press. The New Zealand Herald doesn't even write half of its own frickin' articles anymore. They don't even have the advertising revenue to pay foreign correspondents, okay? They used to have 90-plus investigative reporters working for them. They now have, like, less than 5, according to one source of mine. That is how bad mainstream media are coping with the internet revolution. And I heard somebody comment on one of my YouTube videos the other day saying, oh, the internet and all interaction with it is basically meaningless and worthless. Really? Like, isn't that ironic? Because somebody's like commenting on a YouTube video, which is on the internet, of course, and watching it. And I was criticizing, you know, Facebook and how it sort of like wastes your life to a little bit, but also balancing the equation by the fact that, you know, activists get a hell of a lot accomplished using Facebook. There's an awful lot of protests and so on and so forth. But this guy's saying like, what was he saying? You know what, Frank, I don't care. He's just saying the internet's just not an effective way of doing anything, and now he does his own thing. He reads books and listens to music and relaxes. That's his contribution to society now. He used to go to protests. He used to actively engage in political debate. He used to do a whole bunch of stuff on the internet, but now no longer does because it's a waste of time, and apparently sitting on your ass and listening to music and watching DVDs is a much better use of your time than using the internet, and the internet is just a life-sucking abyss. You know, there's something to what he's saying. He's wrong, but there is an element of that. Yeah, hell yeah. People can waste the... Look, even cars, for example, you know? There's a whole bunch of people out there who waste their lives collecting, fixing, so on and so forth, cars up. And there's other people who use their cars for practical purposes, you know, like, I don't know, taking the kids to and from school or ram raiding them through a mag shop so they can steal a whole bunch of mags that they can't afford because they're criminals. You know, these kind of things. People actually make a career out of this. But, you know, there's certain people who just, you know, waste their frickin' time. So the other element here is that the alternative media is exploding, just absolutely ripping it up. There ain't no possibility that the mainstream media is ever going to get their audience back. There's no possibility. It's shrinking day by day by day by day. They're not producing any original content. They're not producing any relevant content. They're practically the least productive entity on planet Earth right now. And it shows, doesn't it? People don't listen to them. People don't care what they've got to say. Apart from, you know, morons, which unfortunately comprises a good chunk of society. But anyway, there's intelligent people out there who at least have a freaking clue and can read out articles like this. Notice that they're the exact same PS. I love that. They just pop a different headline on an article, the exact same article that they've got posted elsewhere on their website, and it's somebody else's article anyway. And they have both of them posted. Isn't this, you know, just a little bit retarded? You know, I'm quite concerned at this point in time that people don't actually care what the news has to say. Now, the reason why I'm concerned is because it shuts them out of any kind of world politics interest, you know? I remember I went filming at a club one night, I think years and years ago, back when I still did that, and this girl said to me, I just laugh at people who are interested in politics. And she wasn't interested in continuing the conversation any further, because she knew nothing about politics, obviously. That's why she laughs at people who have an interest in them. So what exactly is your point in life here? To get drunk, boogie it down. And I've got no problems with getting a little tipsy and boogieing it down. I've been known to cut a rug myself. But to have no serious issues in your life whatsoever, to never try and help humanity as a whole, never try and help your country or anything bigger than your own little self. You know, just wear your makeup, eat your Maccas in the middle of the night, drink some more booze, have another Red Bull, smoke another bowl of crack, and go for your life, son. You know, this is your life. This is your life. Just go for it. Okay, do nothing with your life and laugh at people who are doing something with their life. This is the mentality that that I believe is starting to take root among the people of this country and many others because the media is so full of crap. And I think because the media is full of crap, that everybody's full of crap and life doesn't matter. No. The media is full of crap and they're trying to convince you that life doesn't matter. They're trying to convince you that you don't have any power, that you can't actually accomplish anything in your entire freaking existence. It's not true. If you want to accomplish something, you will be able to, as long as you believe in yourself. You know, this sounds really cheesy and corny, but it's freaking true. You have no idea what the power of belief really is until you believe in yourself and you believe that you can accomplish something impossible and then you actually accomplish it. Okay? Having enough financial support from my listeners so that I don't have to worry about where my next meal is coming from is not something that I've accomplished yet. I'm working on it, and it's slowly getting better. And this isn't the listener's fault. This is my fault. You know, I'm not going to blame anybody else for my problems. These are my freaking problems. New World Order is trying to frack me and frack all of us at the same time. So we've all got that problem. But It's not our faults, really, is it? I mean, can you blame somebody
like this girl of which I was talking about, for losing an interest in politics after finding out that virtually everything to do with it is complete BS. Can you blame somebody like that for having that mentality? You really can't blame them, can you? And there's a whole bunch of truthers out there who get this exact same way. You know, they learn just how much BS and stuff, and they start to think that the situation's freaking hopeless, and they totally give up, you know? Many of radio show hosts and YouTubers and so on and so forth just close up shop and just go back to their slave job because they just can't handle it, you know? They're psychologically incapable of dealing with reality. You know, that's our real problem here as a humanity, isn't it? We've become allergic to reality. We've become allergic to solutions. We've become allergic to being in touch with our own selves and our own desires. That's a really sad state of affairs. Admittedly, it's a real sad state of affairs. But don't let the fact that everything's fracked and there's scumbags in control of so much of every aspect of our lives, don't let that fact blind you from the simple and obvious truth that you are powerful enough to change it if you choose to. If you choose to. Most people will never choose to make a difference. Most people will prefer all the differences to be made for them and to them, not by them. We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. I hope you enjoy it.